Lightwire Theater is like this weird mix of technology, puppetry, dance. We, you know, aim to sort of grab the audience with, you know, with major visuals. But we are sure that that visuals don't last. You can't just be pretty. you have to have substance, you know. So it's our aim that, you know, that you fall in love with these characters, that you hate the bad guy and that you love the good guy and, you know, and cry for them and cheer for them and all those kind of things, and that the technology is a sidebar, and that you'll forget very soon that you're watching something that's really, really cool looking, you know. And that's what will get you through an hour-long show. So that's the basis of everything we do. We try to make sure that we tell a good story, you know.
Well, the two stories that the troupe will be telling while you're here in Jonesboro, The Ugly Duckling and The Tortoise and the Hare, are familiar stories. Why choose these particular stories?
Well, we liked these stories because everybody has an idea of The Ugly Duckling, albeit from Disney, mostly. When you read the story itself, it's not as recognizable as you might think it would be. But the general idea is still there. You know, the underdog outcast that has, you know, that has it all come together at the end. You know, we take some different turns with the story. And with The Ugly Duckling in particular, it's important to us that The Ugly Duckling earns his place of reverence in the community, not just because he's royalty, not just because he was born into it, but because he makes a decision that validates that. And that's a little bit different from the story. In the story, it's more that he was just born into it, and we discover that he's a prince, and so therefore, you know, therefore you get everything. So, we take different left-hand turns with both stories. With the tortoise and the hare, you know, all of his distractions are today's distractions. Television and cell phones and, you know, all this kind of thing. We make it contemporary in that way. And the score that we use for both is a mix of classical and pop. We try to really go all over the place with the music. And a lot of ballet music we use to tell the story from different classical ballets, because that's our background. But, you know, you'll hear MC Hammer and, you know, all kinds of contemporary songs as well. In The Tortoise and the Hare, we use all the big classical things, William Tell, Peer Gynt, 1812 Overture, you know, all those kind of things. So it's a great mix of music, and the audiences, you know, love that familiarity as well as the things they haven't quite heard yet. So
is there any dialogue in the presentation, or is it just visual and music driven?
Yeah, it's there is no dialogue. There are some songs that have words to them, but coming from a ballet background, you know, we never used words to tell stories. So from our perspective, we told them, you know, through the dance, through mime and all those kind of things. And as it turns out, which we did not aim to do in the beginning, but as it turns out, the international market just opened its arms to us. And, you know, we've played Hong Kong and Taipei and Munich and Moscow and Bogota and all these places where language is the number one thing that separates us as a people, more than ideology, you know. And when you take that out of the equation, you can communicate anywhere, you know. So it's been a real bonus to have that kind of aspect to it. Plus, you know, when you tell the audience what to think, they don't participate as much, you know. So leaving some areas a little bit gray because we don't use dialogue is, you know, my favorite theater particularly when I was young, was the kind of theater that I thought about for 2 or 3 days. You know, why do you think that happened? And, you know, what you know, that kind of thing. It wasn't just face value. And it makes the mind participate in the story, and the audience gets to put their own movie, you know, so to speak, on the story. And I like that. I enjoy that about theater. So
I want to ask you about the technology that makes these presentations possible. It's very visual. It's light. Talk to us about what technology allows you to do on stage.
Sure. Well, the wire that we use, it's like you buy it in like spools. It's like uncooked, half-cooked spaghetti when you get it. And it is a phosphorus-based wire that glows a little bit like neon, but very different than LED, where there's dots everywhere. So it creates an organic thing, a consistent line, and we have the ability to dim it and brighten it based on the character's emotions. And that particular wire is the basis of everything we do. It's called EL wire, or electroluminescent wire. And we build all our own custom battery packs, basically. It's a simplified version would be just what everybody has on their toys. You know, they operate on 12 and 9 volts. And we've went to the auto and marine industry to be able to have the ability to dim them. Every character has their own power, so we rely on no computers, no computer board to control the lights. Every character, every actor controls their own intensity and their own lights, and that's the dressing of the character, the L wire. What's underneath it is a great deal of engineering of structure to make sure that these things hold up, and they are built out of the most bizarre stuff you could possibly think. You know, we don't have $2 million to throw at a show, and the reality is you don't need it. You know, you just need to go to Home Depot and to Walmart and to, you know, Academy Sports, places like this, and look at the world sideways. You know, anything that you need to build, there's already something built for it. You're just not looking at the world in the right way, you know. So like the hinges on our legs that come off of our hips, that go backwards and give you that sort of that backward leg thing, they are made out of skateboard trucks, you know, because a skateboard truck allows you to hinge in the forward and backward direction, and because it has a center bolt that deals with turning on a skateboard, you can also dial in how much you can lift your leg sideways. You know, so it's a multi-use hinge, and it's $8 a skateboard. You get 2 hinges, 4 wheels. You know, so everything is kind of like that in the show. When we do Q&As after the show and talk about the, you know, what's underneath the wire, everybody, you know, particularly the dads, are just like, man, that's the coolest thing ever, you know. So
it sounds like you've crafted something that both from the technical standpoint, but also from the storytelling standpoint, would be very interesting and appealing and engaging for people, not just children, but for adults as well.
Yeah, that's our, you know, and that's the thing. When we made our first show, which Duckling is our second show, when we made our first one, you know, we didn't make it for kids. I mean, we made it for us. We just wanted it to be good. And And I don't, I give kids a lot more credit than, you know, than they might get sometimes. They're extremely intelligent, and they can connect with emotion as easily as the adults. And so we wanted to make shows that were like, you know, the example I use is Aladdin. You know, you're laughing at Robin Williams for one reason, and the five-year-old is laughing at him for another reason, and you're both dying laughing, but for completely different reasons, you know? And if you can make theater like that, that the parents aren't going to, you go to a kid's show, and that was nice, you know what I mean? It's like, that doesn't cut it. So we want to make the story, of course, followable for the younger audiences, but challenging enough for the adult audiences. And the reality is, things that a parent and a child can go do together, equally enjoy, those things are dying, you know. And we want to, you know, on a larger scope, we want to make sure that kids get into the theater and see something that is like, wow, I'm coming back to the theater. This place is cool, you know. It's not the DVD, it's not the computer game, it's not the cell phone, you know, all that stuff which takes us away from the human experience. Theater is where you know, really get that good stuff. And if we can excite a new generation to the theater, you know, with using sort of eye-popping visuals and all that kind of stuff, you know, and get their emotions going, then they'll come back and they'll bring their kids back. And we need that in the theaters.